been up here before. It's crazy. All right.
You've got your workbook. Everybody got your workbook? If you would, if you need one, just raise a hand right now. Everybody online, you should have the link for that as well. You're going to want a pen. Would you say, nice and loud, would you say the word breakthrough? A little louder, breakthrough. All right, now you're going to need to, I'm going to have you say another word, and you're not going to be as excited about saying it, but you need to say it, you ready? Breakdown.
Breakdown.
Yeah, I'm going to let you know that as we get into Genesis 17 and finally see the moment of transformation, it's actually breakdown that leads to breakthrough. So this morning, if you're at the breakdown point, be encouraged. You are set up for breakthrough. And I just want to submit to you this morning, there's really no such thing as transformation without breakdown. Because it's got, you got to give up on how you can do it, and you got to see I can't do it, and then God says, all right, now we're in business, right? And so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 17. If you go to page 10 on your workbook, you're going to see the passage there. This is where Abram goes to Abraham. And let's remember, now, again, I got a mix of good news, and I've got great news for your spiritual life. I've got bad news for your sinful nature, right? Okay, that's just how it goes, all right? The breakdown process was not a day for Abram, right? I mean, we're in years and years and years of God getting him ready. And what I want you to note is this. Abram has been in the right place for a long time. When we get to Genesis 17 and he finally becomes Abraham, the person who can live all these things out, Abram's been in the right place for a really long time, but he hasn't become the right person yet. And Genesis 17 is when breakdown turns into breakthrough. This is where Abram becomes not just an honored father, now he becomes the father of many nations, and the promises that he's always been in the right place for, now he has the right ability to live them out. Ever been in that place where you got what you want and then you weren't ready for it? Right? You remember that first time you've been dreaming of driving all your life and you get behind the car the first time for your first lesson, and it's like, okay, what I wanted versus who I am is not exactly in the same place. Had that first dating relationship, always envisioned, being in that relationship, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is really hard, and I'm rather not a great person in it, I'm pretty selfish, and this is hard. There's always these things. God gives us vision of where we're to go, what we're to be, what we're going to be about in life. And then we realize, I'm not ready for that, right? I've told a lot of people, because I learned it myself, the saying, your talent can take you where your character cannot keep you. Your talent can take you where your character cannot keep you. See, there are times we can be moving forward and we're getting in the right place. We're seeing progress. But there's a lot of work in here. There's a transformation that needs to happen. And the idea of the cross is that we die to ourselves. So it is not the world's call for self-improvement. You can't improve yourself to the promises of God. You've got to let God break you down and then break you through. And that's what we see here. So Genesis 17. I'm going to be reading, just so you see here, I'm going to be reading a few extra verses. Follow along in the beginning. When Abram was how old? 99 years. It's been a while, this process. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. I still have the ability to do everything I've said. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, act of worship, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. He was just hoping to be the father of one. God's saying, no, you're going to be the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. This whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. Now, we love all that part, but let's get to verse 10, because it says, now here's the sign of the covenant. Verse 10, this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. At this point, Abram's like, excuse me, what? Where'd we go? Like, yeah, no, there's some pain involved in this process, all right? And you're going to undergo circumcision. There will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Just love verse 23. On that very day, Abram took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household, every male in his household, including himself, and did as God said, underwent circumcision. Let's not forget, verse 24, Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised. All right, I want to give you some facts of transformation. These are really, really important. God knew he wanted, Abram was just hoping to have a son, be a father of one, and God's like, no, I got a lot more for you. I want you to be a father of nations, but you've got to become the right person for this. You and I, most of us are looking just to get through, make it through, do okay, leave something to the kids, kind of like everybody's healthy. It's like, God's saying, no, I've got a lot more for you, that I've got it more eternal for you. I'm planning to transform you into the likeness of my son, all right? But I'm going to have to do it. And so I want to give you five facts of transformation. And they will be bad news to your sinful nature. And they will be really, really good news to your life. Ready to go? All right. Number one, bad habits don't produce a great life. Never met any great person who's like, yeah, pretty much did nothing. Slept in all the time. Lied to a bunch of people. Was, yeah, really, didn't work hard. Like, that's not how this works, right? We don't get uphill by downhill habits. We've got to recognize that there's a transformation, because habits are really the result of something much deeper in our life. And so the reason we need transformation is because bad habits don't produce a great life. Number two, yesterday's victories don't transform you today. Man, praise the Lord for yesterday's victories. Abraham had a bunch of them. We read about one last week. Big victories. But I want you to hear this morning. Yesterday's victories do not transform you today. And we've got to be people who are willing to say, Lord, what's next? Right? Number three. All positive change is painful to the old self. You know who is the biggest, you know who is the most stubborn person in seeing Sean Franco move forward in life? Sean Franco. Because there's parts that he likes just the way they are, right? They always say in business, the people who keep an organization from changing the way it should are the people who already have title, position, and power in the way it is, right? So it's just painful. So I tell people pretty often, I said, look, the goal of life is not to be free from problems. The goal of life is to have the right problems. I got a soccer team that wants to win every Saturday. They don't like the problem of their coach telling them to run a little harder during practice so they won't be all gassed by the time the game's over, right? It's like, no, you need some right problems in your life if you're going to get the right victories. And I would just say it this way. The goal of life is not to be free from pain. If you make comfort the goal of your life, that's going to be pretty tragic. The goal of life is not to be free from pain. The goal of life is to kind of have the right pain in your life. Now again, not the most encouraging moment to the old self, but I'm telling you what, there's freedom. There's joy. There's peace. We can't make the goal of our life comfort. We've got to make it, God, I want to be transformed into your image. Here's the next one. And this is where breakdown and breakthrough go on. Here's how it works. You and I have to take next steps. We decide, I'm going to continue to grow. I'm going to do something. I'm going to take a step. And you're going to do that, and at some point, it's going to break down for you. You're going to be like, I don't know what to do next. I can't imagine one more thing to do to make this work, to make God's promise. I'm in the right place, but I'm not the right person for the job. I can't seem to get this done. And I'm just telling you, what happens is, God, you partner with God. It's important that you take steps. It's important that you say, here's where I'm going to go in faith. Here's where I'm going to be next. But just don't be confused about how this works. You do that so God gets you to the end of yourself. And when God gets me to the end of myself, and then I'm like, I can't do this. And what do we think? Maybe, you know, maybe everybody but me, God. Maybe everybody else but me. I'm just not the one. Then heaven says, all right, Sean's ready. Now he's ready for transformation. This is where it begins. Because when I finally break down, that's when God says breakthrough. When I finally go to heaven, I can't do this. And heaven's like, wow, he finally figured that out. Okay, it's been a long time, Sean. Glad you're a little slow, but I'm glad you got to that point. Then it's like, now it's time for God to do what only he can do. That's where Abram is at in Genesis 17. He's done. Can't do it. This must be my, it's broken down. God says, no. Now's the breakthrough. And then the last one, and this is where we're just going to wrap up with this morning, break out the ladder one more time just for fun. It's God's word that transforms Abram. It's not Abram's ways. See, it's God's word, not your ways. God's word is the only way to transformation. So, we keep saying these two words, all in, all in, all in. We keep saying it. Why do we keep saying it? Because that's the only way to get to transformation. You got to be all in for an extended period of time. You got to hang in there. You got to get to the breakdown and then stay faithful, saying, God, I'm still going to believe. I'm still going to trust. Now, I'm not just talking willpower. I'm just talking a little bit of just a kind of a surrender. It says, Lord, I know you. I want to know you. I'm going to trust that somehow you're not finished. I'm going to stay all in. And one of the tragedies in life, whether it's a skill, whether it's your school, whether it's a marriage, whether it's, working out family, man, we get to the point of breakdown, and then we give up. And it's like the Lord saying, hey, just would you just open up your heart a little bit and let my spirit come on in with my word? I'm telling you, where your end is my starting point. And that's what he wants to do. So, all right, you've seen me on the ladder a ton of times. I don't need to get that. We're not going to waste time with that. Look, if you don't take your next step, and this is what we're talking about, this is how we're finishing up, in giving yourself to the word of God. If you don't take your next step in giving yourself to the word, you'll never discover God's next work of transformation in your life, right? We got to like, Lord, so this is the call. Lord, today, how do I give myself to your word in a new way? What can I do? And we're just going to go up the ladder. I just want to remind you, Romans 12, right? Give all of yourselves to God because of all he has done for you. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy or focus on the behavior and customs of this world. That's not where your answer is. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's through the word. Then, when you're in the right place but don't know how it works, then you'll be able to understand God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It's the word of God that transforms us. And we all need to take a new step in God's word. How do I give myself to God's word? So let me just break down the ladder one more time, because we're all at different places, but we can all take a next step. And that next step is going to produce transformation in our lives. So here we go. We've talked about the first step, emerging giver. I just kind of like, and really another word for this might be, it's just emotional giver. It's like you give when you feel like it. So you give yourself to the word of God when you feel the need for it. And a characteristic of this step is You love how God's word comforts you when you're troubled. You just love it. And praise the Lord. The Lord loves. This is a great place to start. God's like, I got an answer for you. I know what you need. And somehow someone texts you a verse, or you hear a sermon, or somehow you flip open the Bible and it's just the verse in the Psalms you need. All right, this is great. God loves it here. It's just the first step, though. God doesn't plan for you to stay here. You've got to go to the next step. We're talking about consistent giver. And it's this idea that what I'm doing now is I'm deciding that I need to give myself to the word. It's my lifestyle. I got to figure this out, right? But what I tend to do is I tend to only get around the word for the parts that I want to hear about. So when a church does Bible study on money, it's like, don't like it. Why? Because I'm not interested in that part. I just want this part over here. I just want this part over here. And that's a consistent giver. Your characteristic, you pretty much depend on someone else to give you the word, which is great. The Lord loves. It's part of your faith. And you value hearing from God's word about what you are focused on. And so just think about this. In the form of transformation, the old you is still very much in charge of how the word comes to you. And because of that, it's only step two in the ladder. Now, when we move on from here, and this is where the foundation, this is where now something, when Jesus said the person who builds their life upon the rock, storms come, that foundation stays intact. Here's where we've got to, this is the starting line of legacy, of real momentum and progress in our life. A foundational giver, and this is always the mark, whether you're talking money, relationships, honor, God decides how I give myself to the word, not me. Right? And that's really, really important. Now, this is a big shift in your spiritual life, because when you start doing this, when you start, you know, really, you're not reading the word. You start letting the word read you, right? When you get to this point, now you've got a foundation for transformation, because you've opened up all the word of God, and you're not just picking and choosing what brings you comfort or brings you the thing you want to hear about. Now you're letting the word of God kind of open you up and say, hey, over here. I want to deal with over here. And that's when you start being in a place where the word of God starts coming to you and bringing transformation in your life. It's really interesting. In the first two, we sang about, by faith I see a miracle. The Lord does miracles on every step along the way. But what you will notice is when the Lord comes in supernaturally to help you in the first two steps, it doesn't transform you. He is having grace and mercy to keep you from just totally unraveling. So you may see a miracle, but what happens is those miracles don't lead to transformation. They just lead to, I'm just surviving. I'm just still going. But when I start putting the word of God in it, right? It's always the word and the spirit together. When I start putting the word in this foundation, I say, I'm going to give myself how the Lord wants me to do it. And I begin to open myself up. At that point, I begin to have a foundation for permanent transformation in my life. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law. Joshua's got a promised land in front of him. He's got a lot of giants. He's got to do a lot of things. What's the answer? Man, you've got to meditate on this thing day and night. You got to be careful to do what it includes. And so really, how does God tell us to come to the word? We need to meditate on it daily. The reason day and night is because it's not I read it and forget about it. The idea of meditate means to kind of mutter to oneself, to ruminate, to always be thinking about, to always. So it's the idea, the reason day and night is there is because it's not like I got my devotions in. That's not the goal. Foundation is God started to speak to me in the morning through his word, and now I'm meditating and I'm thinking it through all day long into the night. That's where the Lord will build his foundation. Don't let the enemy or your old self tell you you're not that kind of person. Because I'm letting you know, you just don't know you yet. You are absolutely that kind of person because the Spirit of God is within you. We get to missional. All right, now like, now you know what? I'm reading this thing right here, and now I'm on a mission. Because I'm starting to get dissatisfied with the recurring habits, the sin, the things. And I'm starting to see that this word's starting to take care of it. I kind of get a mission. Here's the interesting characteristic of someone who's taken that foundation and building on it. You start inviting other people to work how the word is working on you. So that's a small group. That's counseling. That's things Bible-based. And all of a sudden, you're letting other people speak into that. So you got a firm foundation, but the way you're building on it is you're starting to have other believers interact with you on the word that's speaking to you. That, you are in the middle of transformation now. You're right in the middle of it. And then the last one, we go from all these steps, we go to one more, and it's this. We just get to the full image of Jesus. Jesus, what? John 5:19 said, boy, I don't do anything I don't see the Father doing. I don't say anything the Father's not saying. That starts to be you. You just start to be this person who's like, you know what? If the word doesn't say it, I'm not doing it. If the word's not leading me in it, it's not what I care about this morning or this day. And your life just literally has supernatural peace. We prayed about it for the worship, all our dream teamers. All of a sudden, instead of everything around me changing, I've changed. And all of a sudden, I'm Peter walking on water. It's like, yeah, the storm's still there, but I'm at a different place walking through it. And talk about being a witness to the world around you. So here's what I want to encourage you this morning. Man, this is you. And what I'm going to ask you to do, you've got this workbook, you've got to weigh it. Man, I've been loving this thing. This has been slicing, dicing me all, every day. Lord, the Lord is speaking. You got daily devotions here to do. You want to kind of get a little missional with a family, with a spouse, with some friends, your small group. Let's talk together about how God is in the Word in me. Man, that's going to build. And I was thinking like the final image here. I was thinking about, you know, how do we kind of keep going up higher to the mountain of God into his presence. I was thinking about this issue of Abram walked a really long time in the right place, but never saw, like he just never saw it all the way he had to. And it got me thinking, and one of our guys in the back AV, Russ Spriggs, was the person who kind of led me to this. One day we were... He showed me George Washington National Forest Park, however that goes. And they got this super cool place called the Devil's Marble Yard to climb up. It's supposed to be really great. And we took our family one day. We're like, let's go walk that place, man. And you're walking like 2 miles or so, and not a fun walk at all. You know, you got the stones and everything. And you're going uphill. You're breathing pretty hard. And I'm like, okay, this is all right. Like, I'm in the park. This is supposed to be beautiful. I don't know. I mean, it's all right, yeah. And I'm just walking. I'm like, I'm actually getting a little tired of being here. Yeah, it's just no Wi-Fi coverage, nothing, yeah. And then we finally get to the part where it's supposed to be awesome, and it's a giant uphill climb. Oh, great. Yeah, I'm tired already, kind of hot, and now I got to get up. You know, now I got to, like, climb all over these things and get up over them. And, like, this is a lot of work. And this isn't, when are we going to get there, you know? And I'm, like, a little tired. But then we get up to the top, and it's like this. And it's just absolutely gorgeous out there. And you know what the big distinction is? Man, there's a ton of wind up there. Ton of wind up there. I just felt like the Lord said, Sean, there's a bunch of people in their right place. They don't understand the transformation, but they're getting discouraged instead of getting encouraged that God is more and more taken over. But what they've got to decide to do is get up to a higher position, because there's plenty of wind for where you're at. There, the wind of God is all over it, but you got to take a step up to feel it. You got to take a step up to see the greatness of what I'm doing. Don't stay where you're at. Take a step. So we're going to finish up just inviting the Spirit of God, the wind of God to come. And we're just going to take a moment to welcome the Holy Spirit. And we're going to put some some buckets up front. We've been every week. How do we come to the altar? Just for a moment, recognize, how do I feel myself getting up from where I am and getting a little out of my comfort zone, doing something a little different, and just saying, because we want to build this in our life. So what you're going to see up here are two things. There is the commitment card that we would love for you to take, and I want you to take it from the altar because I want it to be a you and the Lord conversation. So I want you to feel that. But then we opted for not some kind of circumcision expression for being all in. We just went for a band, a wristband, if that's okay, all right? Just a little moment that says, hey. And all it says is it's just a thin one. It says cornerstone on the one side and all in on the other side. And it's just a moment. I'm hoping you think of our church family when you see the word cornerstone, but I hope you more think about Jesus, the cornerstone. Like, I'm all in with him because he is what? Absolutely all in with me. That's what he did on the cross. So would you stand with me? So at just some point during this worship song, would you just come forward for a moment? Say, Lord, you know what? Help me take my next step in giving myself to the word. Lord, let the transformation continue. Lord, I pray right now for each of my friends here and everybody online that we're with in the Spirit. Lord, you're so faithful. And I'm asking today that a transformation begin. We choose to step up to where the wind is blowing, where we can see the greatness of what you're creating. And Lord, I pray every one of my friends goes from discouraged and confused about the breakdown they're experiencing to an encouragement and a confidence that you who have begun a good work in them will be faithful to complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. We're all in. Help us to continue to take steps forward and guide us that we would always be pleasing to you. Let's take a moment to worship together.